Hello.
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 How are you?
Good, and yourself?
I'm doing good.
Yeah?
Yeah. Getting to the
it's warming up there. Out there now.
Oh, it's beautiful out here.
Yeah, finally.
That's great. So, I apologize for the change in date for the recording thing.
Oh, no, that's fine.
Literally between the time I sent you guys the message and by the time I got home, she booked like 3 clients. All for that night.
Oh, that's okay. Like, is it just you and I, or does everybody need, like, I don't know what...
Well, I don't
know. I can't remember what it is we have to do.
Well, most of it's just fixing those vocals, really.
Oh, okay.
Mostly. I think there's 4 bits or 5 bits. I'm hoping I can do it in about an hour.
Right.
I'm hoping.
Okay.
But then if Alex is there, I don't know. I think that there might be... I'll have to go through the notes again, but there might be... I don't know if there was anything else we needed to change, like making this guitar more loud or this guitar quieter or anything like that.
Right.
That was in there. I can't remember what the list was, but we can go through it.
Right. Okay.
Wow. So I guess what is our podcast is going to talk about what we're doing?
Well, I guess so.
We're the technical side of recording the Dome CD. Do more of that and less of that and make this quieter, make that louder. How about that?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
It's really that simple to make a CD.
Well, yeah.
I'm being incredibly sarcastic.
For the people who aren't mixing, I guess it's pretty easy.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Whoop.
So, I want to continue from where we left off in the last episode.
Right.
You're going to talk tech stuff.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Where do you want to start?
Well, I think we had started, or we had ended on, we talked about luthiers and just in general, just like guitar repair and maintenance and tune-up and stuff. Whereas, like our cousin Danny, he went to school for that. So, I mean, that's his trade. So he knows all the ins and outs and all the proper ways of doing things. Me, on the other hand, I kind of learned everything off of Google and YouTube.
So, can we take a step back as to how you got into fixing the stuff? And like now, because, I mean, now you're doing Google and YouTube and stuff like that. But back in the day, like around the time when you get your Squire... Like, I know you took that guy apart a number of times and kind of did things with it. So, like, how did you get started with all that stuff?
Well, I mean, the very first mod that was done was actually with Zap.
With Zap? Okay.
With Zap. Because what I had done is the pickups that came with the guitar, like I said before, they're very low gain.
Okay, this is for the Squire. We're talking about the Squire, though, right?
We're talking about the Squire.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
This was the Japanese SQ series Squire back in the early 80s, 84-ish, around that time. So with this guitar, with the single coils, you could only really play so much. Like, you didn't really play anything heavy, and heavy was more so what you were kind of playing, so it was kind of hard to do it with just the regular single coils. Plus, when he turned it up, it was noisy as hell. And I tried that, dipping them in wax and stuff, and that didn't really... I mean, it helped a bit, but didn't, you know, fix the problem. So, what I had done is I had bought EMGs.
Okay.
Now EMGs are... these ones are active pickups. There was the 85, and there was the SA-18 or something like that. It was... what I had to do is I had to buy them... usually they come in a kit. But Moncton Music, being so small, they had very... buy everything single by itself. They're like $140 a piece.
So you had to buy like 2 singles to make a double.
Well, I had to buy the 81,
yeah,
which is the humbucker, and then I had the other 2 that were singles.
Oh,
and,
God.
Yeah, and they're all active, and of course they take, I think it's a 25K pot. Like, it's a different setup altogether. It runs off the battery. So, say if you're singing, for example, you don't get, you know, zapped from the microphone from the different... roundings and whatnot, but not that I was singing, but I wanted something I could turn up because my Strat was so loud. I wanted something that was like, oh yeah, these EMGs, they're active and they don't make noise, so they're perfect. So I bought that, and of course the guitar came with single coils. And the humbucker was like, well, okay. So I took the pickguard off. Of course, there's no room. So I went to Zapp's.
Okay.
His dad had every tool you could imagine. So he had a reamer. And we're outside of the garage. And I remember it like it was yesterday. And we had the body. And just kind of... just kind of routing out our own little, you know, humbucker, you know, size.
God. So did you take the guitar, so when you were reaming it,
yeah,
did you take the neck off and take everything off to minimize potential damage, or did you just kind of take the strings off and just I kind of want to get into your head what you're doing.
You know what? I honestly don't seem to recall it was just the body.
Okay.
I believe so. But not 100% sure. Because okay, that time, I probably wasn't comfortable taking the neck off. Because I'd never done it before.
That's why I was asking. Because I don't know, that terrifies me. So yeah.
Mark might remember, but I don't remember offhand.
Okay, so you say you remember it like yesterday. So walk me through, because this is...
Well, that part, I remember we were just outside of the back door of the garage. And he had the air reamer. And he was just going away at it. And, you know, the wood's burning, so you get black, you know.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and you get the smoke coming up. So, once that was done, then the pick guard would fit. So I put all that together, and it worked great. I mean, I had, now the guitar was done, but the amp wasn't,
so, I didn't have the... So first try, you actually got exactly how you wanted it to sound? Like off the pickup specifically?
Well, it depends what you mean by sound. I mean, your amp pretty much says how it's going to sound.
Sure.
I mean, you could buy a cheap guitar and have a really good amp, and it'll sound great.
Sure.
But, I mean, I had the Fender Bassman, which was, you know, it was a good amp in its day, and it's still to this day, but for some reason, this thing just was, there was no, like you listen to YouTube now and people with reissues and stuff, and they crank it up. And it sounds awesome. Like, it sounds, you're getting some overdrive with it and stuff. But this one here didn't do that. So,
do you still have that amp as well?
No, actually, I gave it back to Junior, and then I think Danny had it at that point after that at some point when you needed it. But it had some problems too, because when we were playing, say, at the pageants and at the talent shows and stuff, every once in a while, one of the smaller tubes at the back wouldn't come on. So, I mean, you turn the amp on, nothing would happen. Then you go underneath, you jiggle the tube, and, you know, it would fire up. So, I mean, the tubes were never, ever, ever changed in that thing, as far as I know. And when Junior had it, it was outside in a barn, a garage, like a shed type thing. So, I mean, it was kind of out in the weather a little bit, so that probably didn't help things. Having an amp and not having an amp, that was perfect. And it had some great snappy, like some bottom end and stuff like that, like your actual like Fender sound. It sounded great. It just didn't have the balls, I guess you could say. There was too much headroom, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
It wasn't breaking up early enough. So getting back to the guitar.
Yep.
So once that was done, then later on I had the PV Renown as my amp. So that's what I was using. It was very noisy because it was a solid state amp, and when you turned it up, they didn't have low noise ICs and or whatever in there. It was loud. Now for the guitar mods per se, before I put the EMGs in, I kept snapping the strings all the time.
Snapping
strings.
Okay.
And they would snap where they would touch, like where the bridge is. So like I said, I used to boil the strings because you didn't really afford to buy any. So whenever you snap the string, it was like, oh my God. Then you had to go into an old pack of strings, if you could find that particular one, you know, with all the indents in it from the frets before, and turn and put that on and play with it. I mean, that was the only choice I had. So what happened was, Monkey Music, they had a thing, it was called Dive Bomber or something. So what it was the saddles, but they had brass rollers on them. So I figured, well, if it's going to roll, then it'll stay in tune better, so it's not catching, you know, in the the bridge.
I remember you complaining about that back in the day. Mm-hmm. So that's what you did. Okay, because I wasn't sure how you get past that issue. Okay.
Yeah, because I still have that guitar, and I still have the exact same roller bridge on.
Yeah.
And that's what I had used. Now for the neck relief, because it was buzzing everywhere, of course it was, part of it was because I had played it so much that there was definite grooves in the frets.
Sure.
Like, really bad, especially on the lower register, and that alone was, you know, buzzing like crazy, and then you had the strings that already had the pre-notches in it from before I'd boiled them and put them back on.
Yeah.
So I was kind of in a losing battle, and the thing with the neck relief, right at the head of the neck where you would adjust it, I didn't know what it was doing when you turned it one way and when you turned it the other way. I just kind of, you know, there was no information on it really at the time, and I just kind of fiddled around with it, and then at one point I just left it where it was, and then that was it. So that was kind of my extent at that time with guitar stuff. And I only had the one guitar, but now moving forward, you know, I'm 10 years, I've obtained more guitars in that time frame, and I've done some different things to different guitars. I took one guitar that I had, pulled the neck off. I did the Van Halen thing to it.
Oh yeah.
Frankenstrat
or whatever.
Yeah, like I painted it black, and then I painted it, you know, I striped it up, and then painted it white, and then I striped it up and painted it red, and then took it all off, and then I had half a pick guard, and then I put in a Seymour Duncan, the custom in it. And then what I did is a pull switch, so that it went from the front pickup to the back pickup. The front pickup is just it's just bare bones pickup. There's no cover on it. It's still got that reddish type of material on it. In the center pickup area, there's no pickup. It's actually a selector switch that's in there. If you look at the old, you know, Van Halen pictures of his Frankenstrat, it's pretty much the same idea what it was. I mean, in the back, I've got reflectors on it. And it's broken at the same spot as the other ones were that you had on there.
So yeah. So the question I have about that one was it more emulating the visual of, like, the visual of the Frankenstrat, like Eddie's Frankenstrat, or were you trying to emulate technically what was done on that guitar to get the same or a similar sound?
So are you asking me that it's just be hung on the wall and not played versus being played?
Well, a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, no, actually, with all the guitars that I've worked on, this one here probably turned out the best, and it's probably one of my best players, actually. I took it into, I went to Stumac, that's one of the places where you can buy tools and whatnot, and I bought a template for a Floyd Rose. So what I did is I got that, and I had to trace around and have it routed out at work, actually.
Yeah, because Eddie used Floyd Rose, right?
The locking trim, so it locks, on the neck.
So it doesn't go completely out of tune every time you whammy it?
Yeah, it pretty much, as long as it's in tune, it'll stay in tune. Once it's out of tune, then you have to start fiddling with your little fine tuners. I mean, you turn one up, then the other one goes down a little, and you have to keep adjusting, so it's a pain to get it set up, but once it's there, it's there.
Okay.
Yeah, but you don't want to be doing any, it's tuned half a step down, so I get it. No. Then you just leave the guitar there, you grab another one that doesn't have a locking trim, it just has a regular hardtail bridge that doesn't, you know, go up or down or anything, and then I adjust my tunings, and I'm okay. So that was, I think that was one of the first ones I did. Now the second one I did was the black and white that Van Halen has with the single,
or the black and yellow.
Well, there's a black and yellow, that he had. And I think that was the one that they buried Dimebag Darrell.
Dimebag? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my understanding. That's my recollection, yeah.
Yeah, but the one that I built was actually the black and white.
Oh, okay.
Just strictly the black and white striped one. Which I think was the one previous to the red one. Because I think the red one was actually the black and white that he just kind of restriped and painted red.
So I didn't realize that.
And they took, right. And then took the pick guard off and then had, you know, just... He did a lot of experimentation, so I have one guitar.
So when you were when you were doing a lot of this stuff, was this based on interviews you read with Eddie? And Eddie said, "Well, I did this and I did that." Like, were you like, "Oh, okay, that sounds cool. Let me try it." Like, or were you like, "How are you putting it together? Like, how did you get the information? Was it from those interviews or was it somewhere else?"
I mean, just by articles that you read and just the pictures, basically, you can tell what you know what's been done just physically. Visually looking at it, so they were mostly done that way.
Okay.
Yeah. So the black and white one was I think it was a Robson body, and then I went and bought a guitar off a Guitar Fetish. They had scratch and dent sale or something or other. So I grabbed one of those, and if you go by the original one, I think you've got like a brass nut on it. But I mean, I'm not going to that extent. Just a regular plastic that they came with. I never did change it. And then I put in an actual EVH pickup in it. Yeah, no, it's not the Seymour Duncan, but the actual EVH branded one I put in there. So that's what I have in that one. So those are my Van Halen guitars. Those are my visual ones that I kind of keep up and, you know, look at them all the time. It's not the only Strat that I accumulated. Like I said, other ones where I'm not. I won't get into all that because I'll take a break to get into. But mostly the routing stuff. I had the templates. I went to work, and there was a guy named Gary Sperm. He actually helped me a lot with my guitars. He helped me route them out. He helped me where it clamps off at the nut.
Yeah.
That all had to be routed out so you could put the locking unit on there. He helped me with a lot of that stuff. So most of the routing stuff I had him do. But after that, then I kind of did my other stuff to finish it off.
Okay, so what about the electronics inside and that sort of thing?
Oh, the electronic side? Well, that's pretty... I mean, if you go to the Seymour Duncan site... It has every wiring diagram known to man that you can do to your guitar. So basically just printed off what I needed. Just looked at how everything was set up. The main thing is just, you know, soldering iron and knowing how to use it without, you know, burning out your pots and stuff like that. So don't put too much heat for too long.
Yeah.
But, then the push-pull switch, you have to, if you're switching from single to double, or if you're going from one pickup to another, when you're just doing the push-pull, you have to kind of read up on that too, and what's, you know, and how that pot works to run your electronics. Then you have your, you know, your input and stuff, and I mean, that's all pretty basic. I mean, you need your ground and you need your hot, and it's just, you got to make sure everything's, you know, copacetic. And then there's, if you want to go as far as, some people shield the inside of the guitars. Some people use copper, like that sheeting, or it's like a tape.
Okay.
Put that in there. I've bought some of that shielding stuff. It's a liquid, and then you just basically paint it on like a brush.
Okay.
And it's a blackish color. So, yeah, I mean, I've done my pick guards are all. I put actually that aluminum stuff that duct. You know, when you're fixing ducts in your house, they get that silver tape.
That aluminum, silver tape.
Yeah, so I mean, I use that, whether or not that works properly. Some people say it does, some people say it doesn't, whatever. I put it in regardless, just in case if it does work, then good. So yeah, I haven't done any, like there's a guy at work, and he actually builds guitars. And just right from scratch, like he just decided one day he wanted to build, you know, something, and then he started making his molds and they're all acoustic guitars, so that's a little more intensive.
Oh,
you get your braces, you get your everything has to be I mean, it's not as straightforward as an electric guitar where you can buy the parts and just bolt them together and you know, go to town. Whereas the acoustics, I mean, you have the top, you get the back, you get the sides, you have to have everything all formed, you have to, you know, humidity and make sure everything doesn't crack. And what's that?
I was going to say, did you not make your own body, like your own guitar body at one point, too? I'm trying to remember if you
had. Yeah. You know, what I did is I grabbed some, we had some pallets at work. And this is, and pallets is hardwood, right?
Yeah.
So what I did is I had them take a bunch of boards, plane them, and then stick them together, and then I had this big block. Well, I had two big blocks. So I took one block, marked out how I wanted to do it, and had it all cut out. And this thing, like just the body itself, weighs, I'd say, 15, 20 pounds.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if I'm exaggerating or not, but it's freaking heavy. So I was like, there's no freaking way I'm going to be strapping this around my neck.
Yeah.
Because, I threw it back out.
Yeah, no kidding.
As I get older, I like the lighter guitars. Like the bass that I just got, that's way lighter than, say the Fender Jazz or something like that, where it's got, a lot of beef to it. But, yeah, so that's pretty much my extent of guitar stuff. Like every guitar that I have, I would either take the neck off, make sure now that I know how to do the relief properly with the bow in the neck, so that when you hit the string in the middle, it's got a little bit of give. Because when you hit the string, I mean, the ends don't move a whole lot, but when you get to the center, if you've ever seen videos of how a string moves, you can see how big of a circle that it makes. So so the middle has to have a little bit of clearance. So that was something I had to learn and try and figure out.
Trial and error, trial and error.
Yeah, but I mean, I've had some guitar necks that I've had unfinished, so there's one that I have that doesn't have any sealer on at all. I just kind of when I refretted it, I pulled all the frets out. I heated it up with an iron first, so I didn't pull half the wood with it. But once I took the neck off, I had a neck jig built for me to try and emulate string tension on the neck. Because when you have the neck on and the string tension is on it, it'll create a certain curve with that relief. But when there's no string tension on it, there isn't any. And then you can kind of, figure, well, I'll put it here and it'll be, ballpark. No. You want to know where it is, so that when you do have it under tension, if you go right flat, and then you have to adjust all your things for your neck jig, so that when you do sand it, everything's nice and straight the way it should be, so that when you go back the other way, technically it should be okay. Of course, that doesn't always work out either, because I've had some frets, I guess, that were tight. So what happens is now it kind of pushes the wood away when you're putting the fret in. So if you're doing, say, 21 frets and they're each pushing a little bit for each one, next thing you know, your neck is boring the opposite direction.
Oh, God.
To a point. No, I mean, just slightly, but still enough to be a pain that, you take all the relief off the neck and it's still not enough.
Yeah.
So then, there's trial and error. I'm sure there's when you read the books, it probably goes through everything and tells you beforehand. It's like people with experience. I mean, they tell you, you can do that, this is going to happen. If you do this, this is going to happen. So the knowledge isn't there until I actually do it. And but I mean, some of the articles that you read and stuff do kind of go into it. So it kind of gives you an idea anyways before you start. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say,
did you want to talk at all?
I think I got scienced out.
Yeah.
It's science, bitch.
Yeah, but an interesting thing is I with the SQ series, the Japanese Squire that I have, that was the one that we were talking about last episode that Dad had bought. And the thing is with that one, I mean, the body on it is immaculate, because I always kept... and there's no scratches. I mean, I'm sure it was, dusted off and whatnot. And then the EMG thing kind of you know, I wasn't sure what I was going to do with that. And then by then I had a different guitar. So I just kind of put this one in the case, and I had it in the closet, with the case that I ran over, which was, that was a different story. After we went jamming one time, I placed the guitar behind the car, and we were talking. I was with the Sitches. And then, okay, and then everything, I get in the car, I back up. I back over the guitar.
Oh, God.
Of course, I backed over it where the neck met the body. If it would have went anywhere else, it would have snapped it in half, I'm sure.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. So, anyways, getting back to the story.
I'm home already, so maybe we need, we're going to do a part three?
No, just one quick thing.
Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
What had happened was when I was looking to make my Van Halen guitar, what I wanted to do is I just wanted to find this cheap Squire on Kijiji. I put an ad, and someone said they had one. It was a standard series. So I said, okay, well, that's what I want. I don't want the other one. So I went over there, and then lo and behold, it's the exact replica of the one Dad bought me.
Oh.
So I went, wow. So I said, well, how much for this? So he charged me $30. Believe it or not.
Wow.
Where these things, if you look on eBay, these things go for stupid prices. But I mean, the body had more stickers on it than the Subway. I mean, it took forever to take them off. But that one there, this one I kind of did, you know, stuff too, because I could. I don't want to touch my original one. If I do anything, it was on this one.
Sure.
So this one, I pretty much almost just left it alone, because it's fine the way it is. Like, you don't want to really butcher anything that's in good shape. So I have that one hanging on my wall as a reminder. So
yeah,
cool.
Yeah. Wow, that was entertaining. That was cool.
Well, okay, if you say so, good. I'm just rambling on and on.
No, it's good. It's good. There's going to be some people outside that appreciate that. So. Outside of our whatever. Anyway, so
yeah.
We're going to cap it off here.
Okay.
For a future episode here, what I was thinking of doing is, I think we've, in the episodes you and I have done together, we talked about a lot of stuff about, oh, well, you know, we like this, or we used to listen to this. I think I want to dive deep into our influences and how they coincide, and I guess how they mesh into you and me, how our influences mesh into Dome, and how that impacts how the music is put together. So maybe we can do an episode on that. Just kind of think on it. I think it's obvious what our influences are, but I think they explain how it influences what we're doing right now.
Yeah, I've got a pretty good idea of what, yeah.
Yeah, so just think on it a little bit, maybe bring a couple of, bands and or particular songs that may, you know, directly impact how you contribute to the Dome songwriting process and that sort of thing. I will do the same. And I think that might be kind of fun.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds good.
Okay. We'll sign out here. We'll see you on the flip side.
Alrighty. All right. Well, we'll talk to you later then.
All right. See ya.
All right. See ya.
Bye.
Okay. Hey, bye.